Numerous bright reds, white spots, and streaks are likely very high altitude cloud tops. You can see the great red spot down towards the lower right. This is an interesting image. This is JWST. Near CAM and near spec IFU. So the near infrared camera took the image of Europa seen on the left. Near spec, the near infrared spectrograph, is what's called an IFU, which is an integral field unit, which divides an image into spectra. And it's managed to image the moon and take spectra at the same time. And you can see crystalline CO2 ice, 2.7 microns, crystalline CO2 ice at 4.27 microns, and compact CO2 at 4.25 microns. This shows that there's a lot of CO2 on Europa. And Europa, if you remember, is an icy moon that has a underground or under ice ocean is water, ice, water, and it's a possible source of light. This is an HST image of Saturn, and they're looking at the star's spook season. You can see the spokes here and here starting. So as Saturn goes through its orientation tilt, it comes to an point where spokes start forming in the rings, and nobody knows why they form or what they are, but people are trying to find out by observing what they could see. Here's a JWST near cam image. Saturn, taken in a filter where methane is absorbed. And so you can see the planet absorbed in the methane and the ring shining bright in water ice. This is the JWST near cam image of Uranus's moons. rings are prominent in this near IR image because of their composition. They don't shine brightly in the optical because they're not like Saturn's rings, which are made of ice. They're made of more rockier substances, and they show up in the near infrared. You can see the moons, which are named for Shakespeare. This is not too near him. You can see the rings. This is near him. Again, Neptune showing the moons, including the moon Triton, which is its largest moon, which is large enough and bright enough to have the diffraction spikes for a JWST. This down here is a galaxy, is a star. The other points are galaxies. This is a surface composition near spec image, prism spectrum of a centaur. Centaurs are objects that lie between Jupiter and Neptune. They're like asteroids or Kuiper belt objects. We're not sure which. This shows that this centaur is made mostly of water ice. So NASA sent up a mission to collide with an asteroid to see whether they could change its orbit. And this is the impact with Dimorphos. So you can see there is a great volume of material cast out. This is Dimorphos. It's looked at by JWST. This is complicated by the JWST diffraction spikes, which are here, here, and here. The material ejected from Dimorphos is up here and up here. Now we move on to exoplanets, and this is the gas giant planet WASP-39b, and you can see that the amount of light blocked at different wavelengths varies in the top frame and in the bottom frame. So, 3 microns, there's one level. At 4.3 microns is another lower level. And at 4.7 microns, there's blocking less than that color. Near spec observation of WASP-39b, and it shows a feature of carbon dioxide prominently in the spectrum. This is the atmospheric composition of a exoplanet called K2-18b, and there's a model, and then there's the data points. The data points are in white. The model is in blue, and this is from NIRAS and NIRSpec to JWST spectrographs. And you can see there's methane features, there's methane features. There's carbon dioxide features, and they look actually stronger than the carbon dioxide model. There's methane, there's dimethyl sulfide, which is CH3 sulfur CH3. It's a nasty gas. This is coronagraphic images of exoplanet Hipparchus 6546B from near Kingman Mary. So these use a coronagraph, which is a disk to block the light of the star. And then you can see faint objects nearby. And they block the light of the star from near Cam at 2 wavelengths, and Miri is 2 wavelengths. Miri is a mid infrared image and detected the planet. This is a spectrum of VHS-1256b, which is a planet, exoplanet. This is near spec and Miri IFU image resolution spectroscopy. And you can see they have features that they detect in water, carbon dioxide, GWS team. He chose to start from the hall, which has some dusty debris that's around it. And there's a cloud in this debris that's it was mistaken for a planet for a long time. But it's now known to be a dust spot. Let's speak of CW Leonis, which is a red giant star, which is losing its outer envelope. Its outer envelope is rich in carbon. Red giant stars, at the end of their lifetime, lose their outer envelope. Basically, the pressure from inside when the fusion reactors pushes the outer envelope out and it casts out to the interstellar medium hydrogen, helium, plus enriched material from the interior, which is rich in carbon and nitrogen. And this is a Perlis star called L1527 Iron Rust, which is right down here. Right down in the middle of that disk is a small disk there. And the jets of material are coming out perpendicular to that disk and are being injected into space where they interact with the interstellar medium. This is a Hubble observation of Harvey Barrow. 1 and 2. These are Herbig Haro objects were found by Herbig and Haro, two astronomers who looked at Kalmar scan survey plates. And they found spots where jets of material were coming out. And these are outflows from a newly born star. The newly born star is hidden in the middle behind a lot of dust. But the jets are coming out from the young star and are interacting with the interstellar medium and glowing. This is Herbie Harrow, 211 from near town. This is a longer wavelength. This is one I'm This is images from NIRCAM and MIRI of Orion Nebula. So the image to the left is NIRCAM. This is roughly 1 to 5 microns. Then you have MIRI and mid, which is roughly 5 to 25 and you can see that if you zoom in a lot, you find stars with disks around them that are just forming. This is a ring nebula near town that I previously forgot to type in comments. The white dwarf in the center is a star that is casting its off. This is the shell of material from the outskirts of a star that have been blown out by a stellar wind. This is the Westerhaus 5 nebula. Reaches T. You can see a free floating gaseous globule, which is a denser region of gas that evaporates less easily than the surrounding. So, the dusty cloud down here is full of dust and molecular gas, and photo evaporates less than the surrounding medium. And the gaseous globule up here is a runaway that's denser region than the surroundings, but doesn't form you that way. This is NIRCAM, the mirror image of Ulpere star 124, which is a runaway star. So this star is moving at a couple hundred kilometers per second out of the disk. It's a high mass star that's losing its outer envelope. And its outer envelope is rich with heavier elements. And the Wolfray star is going to blow up as a type 2 or type 1 B or C supernova. This is supernova 1987A in the Magellan, large Magellan cloud. It's the nearest supernova since the invention of the telescope. And this just shows the image this object near-infrared. You can see the equatorial ring and the internal ejecta. Obviously, in this image, you can't see the outer ring very well. It's very faint. But this is a supernova that went off in it. And slowly, this is NGC 6355, which is a globular cluster. know there was often thought to be a single star and was labeled Esperanza. Now, this is a close-up of Return to the Nebula, showing the star formation. This is DEM-L190. It's a virus supernova rounded in the LMC. So, this is from HST, and then this combines images from WPC2, which was the old wide field planetary camera on HST, with new data from wide field camera 3. You may put up wide field camera 3 and decide not to put a planetary camera mode into it. So, this is NGC 3046 and a small marginal in cloud. This is three filters, the medium filter in orange, samples pHs and CH4. So, samples PA and CH4 emission, which is polyaramid hydrocarbons and methane emission, which are reported hydrocarbons. This is the open cluster NGC 376 in the SNC. It's got a low mass. It's got about 3,400 times the mass of the Sun. This is taken with HST, V, Advanced Camera Surveys, and Pic 3. So, this is two cameras on HST. Moving further afield, this is NGC 5584, which is a JWST near cam and HST with Pic 3 image. Now, NGC 5584 is important because it has Cepheid variables and type 1A supernova. So, a Cepheid variable is a variable star whose period and luminosity are related to So, the period of oscillation tells you the luminosity. And type 1A supernovae are 1.4 solar masses, a white dwarf blowing up, and so are a reliable brightness indicator. And so these two brightness indicators are both visible in this galaxy. And so if you can get the
sepias and the type 1As, you can cross correlate and make sure that they give you the same value. So, the advantage of AWST over HST is that it's a 6.5 meter telescope. And so the resolution is factor 2.5 times better. The JWST image up at the top, you can see the blending between the image of the Cepheid and the surrounding star. In the JWST image, you can see it's much clearer the separation between the Cepheid and the nearby star. But you can see more faint nearby stars. So, this is the image that everybody was talking about, positive question mark. This is an image of JWST. It caught everyone's attention. So, it may be that this galaxy and this galaxy are merging. This galaxy looks to be just an interval. Two galaxies that are interacting with each other and make the question. This is JWST's image of Stephens Point Tappens, which is a group of five galaxies, four of which are connected to each other. So, this galaxy aren't the same redshift. This galaxy is a foreground galaxy. These galaxies are they're close to each other in the sky, and they are interacting. This is a very image of blue galaxy to the left is not part of the point of time. This is a cartwheel galaxy, which is a ring galaxy. This is a divine near Canary image. This is a galaxy that's been run through by another galaxy. This is a local dwarf regular galaxy. isolated, and you can see it's got one spiral arm, sort of. This is common about show structure. This is a part of the HST very nearby galaxy program. So it's got a diffuse galaxy on the right, and it's spiral galaxy on the left. This is a dwarf galaxy near our galaxy, UGCA 307, located roughly 26 million light years away. You can see some star formation in it. It's a This is in Donatello 2 dwarf galaxy from HST. This is a galaxy that orbits our own. This is NGC 1433 from Mary. This is a secret galaxy which has a bright core that emits from the black hole in the center. About 46 million light years from it. This is NGC 7496, taken with Mary. You can see the bright core in the center. It's emitting mass from a supermassive black hole that's creating matter and emitting light. This is just found recently. This is a galaxy that has a gamma ray burst. 230307, which is a kilonova. A kilonova is two neutron stars colliding with each other. They start off in orbit around each other, and the gravitational waves lost the energy, and they orbit in and collide. Or a neutron star collides with a stellar mass black hole. So, chose lines, line of tellurium, which is a radioactive element that lives for a few hundred thousand years. So this is a sign that heavy, very heavy element were formed in this collision. And you had radioactive elements being this is a cluster seen by HST. The thing is that the foreground galaxy, because they have dark matter around them, gravitational lines, distant galaxies. You see the distant galaxies in the arcs. Here. This is a JWST survey that's ongoing. And it's going to fill an entire section of the sky with high quality space infrared images. Now, within this survey, they've discovered two active supermassive black holes. here's one with a hydrogen line. Here's one with a hydrogen line over here. The hydrogen line is the 6563 line of hydrogen. Balmer Alpha. It's been redshifted into the infrared. So these objects are redshifted to high degree and exist at 12.8 and 12.7 billion years. This is an image of a cluster of stars, and we found two background galaxies. Redshift 10.5 and 12.5. These are very hard redshifts. So this is a JWST galaxy cluster. In the background of this cluster lies another cluster, which is shown on the right. These galaxies are at redshift of 7.9, which correlates to 650 million years after the Big Bang. So these things are part of the cluster. These galaxies on the right are part of the cluster. serve in the background and the foreground cluster. Because they're part of a cluster only 650 million years after the Big Bang, which means the cluster formation occurred earlier. Least galaxy formation cluster. This is a JWST Advanced Deep Extragalactic Survey. This is just a stare at the sky. In the center of this image is a quasar, JWST, JO.